Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. Before we get started, I know you're here because you want to activate more joy into your life, and I'm going to be guiding us through a workshop in Rose Gold Goddesses, my membership community, specifically on jumping into your most joyful timeline. That workshop is taking place live on Zoom this Sunday, June 6th, and you'll be able to tune into the replay afterwards as well. We're going to be actually putting pen to paper on what your most joyful timeline looks like and what actionable steps you can take to make that your reality. So if you love Highest Self Podcast, and you want to take these practices to the next level and actually be in my container, come join me at rosegoldgoddesses.com. You can find that link in the show notes. I'll see you in your most joyful timeline. And now let's get to today's episode because it's a juicy one. I am so excited to have you here on today's episode. If it's your first time listening, welcome. My name is Sahara Rose. I'm an ancient soul in a modern body. I'm a best-selling author. I've been hosting this podcast for over 4 years. And really, I'm here to make spirituality fun, easy, and relatable so you can integrate it into your life because frankly, the world needs it right now. So if you're here, you're listening, you are part of this evolution, bringing higher consciousness to humanity. And I am so grateful that our souls decided to incarnate again together in this lifetime. So welcome. Now, I'm really excited to share that I have been really slowly and patiently starting to work on my next book. So I am an author, as I mentioned, and most recently, my last book, Discover Your Dharma, came out in January, and that was like, whoa, that was a process. That was a birth. I was in that experience from writing it for 2 years and birthing it and bringing it out into the world. And I was like, after that book, I was like, I don't know if I could write another book for a while. But really, every single book I've written has always been for myself first. It's always whatever that I am working through and learning about that I end up wanting to share. And in Discover Your Dharma, we have these 9 Dharma archetypes, and my 2 Dharma archetypes are visionary and teacher. So I really go through life learning different lessons, finding my way through them, and the way that I integrate and move through them is then to pass along the teachings to others. And then with my visionary, I'm here to write, express, share, speak. So it's kind of my dharma to keep writing books, even if sometimes I'm like, oh my God, it's so much energy and effort and all of the things. But truthfully, my soul loves it. I love writing a book. And I wasn't sure that I would write one this soon, but then these codes have really begun coming through. And I don't want to share too much, but I will share the topic of the book. And the topic of that book is joy. And that's why I wanted to riff on it a little bit on this episode today, because I've realized that we are a joy void society. Not only are we a joy void society, but we are probably living in one of the most joy void times in modern history. Now, the reason I share that is because you may have noticed this too, but it's almost like on social media, which, you know, we've never had social media prior to this generation, but on social media, there's almost this self-fulfilling prophecy that you have to be miserable, or if you're not angry, you're not listening, or you got to be doing the work. And it's created this feeling that if you are happy in today's world, then you're not listening. You're selfish. You're an egotistical person because we are aware of so many more shadows than we have been aware of in modern history. However, does that mean that the most is actually happening right now? Or does it just mean that we are the most aware of it? You see, the thing is, wars and famine and poverty have been happening around the world since the beginning of time. But the difference is, if you lived in one part of the world, you didn't know what was happening politically, economically, socially in another part of the world. So you just had your own problems to worry about. But today, the beauty of social media is we get to see what's happening in all other parts of the planet. And also, the double-edged sword of that is we see what's happening in all the other parts of the planet. And a lot of the things aren't beautiful. And our minds have a negativity bias, and they will always focus on the very worst things happening. You know, we're not going to make global news like, hey, like tons of babies were born really healthfully and easefully today. Or like there were 7 million birthday parties today, or like this many people got married and are super happy. Like, we don't share that stuff, but we do share the most horrible things that are happening. And rightfully so, that we're sharing because it's important. And because of social media, we've created this narrative that if you share about anything else, then that means you are a selfish, wrong person. And this cancel culture has become this invisible force that we're also afraid of, this like cancel, like who is cancel culture? You know, it's like really a group of people who are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to take back the power that they have felt like common people don't have, take back the power of someone saying something and not being held accountable. So the original essence of it came from a light place, but really it has moved very far from that. That I have friends saying, I'm afraid to share about my birthday. I'm afraid to share about my vacation. I'm afraid to share about my raise or this new book I wrote or this podcast I launched because I don't want people to think I'm a bitch. I don't want people to think that I'm an asshole or privileged or asleep or whatever the thing is. So I'm going to keep all of my joy to myself, but share all of the misery of myself and the rest of the world because that's what's quote unquote authentic or relatable today. So let's really look at this. I am an activist. I have worked with Amnesty International. I went to school to study international human rights. So this stuff is not new to me, but it's new to most people. And most people haven't really thought it through. So let's zoom out here a little bit and just see what happens to a collective that continues this narrative that we must share at the top of our lungs all of the problems in all parts of the world and don't share any of the light things, because no one needs to hear about that. Keep that shit to yourself. So what happens in that society? You know, imagine you're a kindergartner, and instead of going around and sharing, you know, your favorite color, you share about, like, tell me something really wrong with the world right now. Tell me something really dark about yourself. You know, of course, shadow work is great. Activism is great. But imagine if when it's the kid's birthday, they're like, sit down. No one wants to hear that. You're not special. Tommy over here had a rough day, and it's your birthday. Who cares? Tommy had a rough day. What are we going to create in a society that feels like I need to keep all joy to myself because it can get me ostracized? It can get me punished. It can get the mobs to go against me. So the way that I can get feedback, the way that I can get acceptance is to dwell on all things negative within myself. And if I run out of things within myself, I'll find things in the outside world. And that's what's going to create acceptance. In fact, that's what makes me woke. In fact, that's what makes me a good person. So what is this world we're going to end up in? When we focus on something, when we are, for example, let's say you're in a bad mood, when you're focused on, oh, this person's so annoying, or this isn't fair, or I'm anxious, or I'm depressed, or whatever the mood is, you can see that your lens becomes shifted into the taint of those colors, you know? So instead of wearing rose-colored glasses, you are wearing gray-colored glasses, murky-colored glasses, depressed-colored, anxious-colored, sad-colored, anger-colored, etc. So when you see the world from that lens, you've put on that lens because the world tells you you need to. The world tells you you're asleep if you're not. And then you're seeing the entire world and all experiences as unfair, unjust, wrong. You're fueled with anger. And that's going to, you know, when you're angry, the littlest thing, someone can like breathe and you're like, shut up, you're breathing so loud. The littlest things that may not have even triggered you before become extremely triggering to you. And then you walk around triggered by everything. And they say, you're not doing the work. You triggered me. You are breathing too loud. You are wearing red. Don't you know I hate the color red? How dare you wear red? You're so inconsiderate. you know? So we walk around the world like waiting for things to be mad about because that's the lens we're seeing things through, or waiting for things to be sad about, or waiting for things to feel disempowered about, waiting for things that are going to go wrong. And then what happens? We create that self-fulfilling prophecy. We make decisions in alignment with that thing. We don't see the potentials and the options available for ourselves. We don't see the beauty and the joy and the magic of life. We don't notice the person holding the door open for us. We don't notice the person texting us, asking us how we are. We're not even aware of these things because all we're looking for are more things to continue that state in which we are in. The anger, the sadness, the unfairness, whatever it is. So when we can't tap out of that, when we feel ashamed to tap out of that, when we feel like we are helping humanity by being in that, we are actually creating the very world that we don't want to be a part of. We are creating more anger. We are creating more hatred. We are creating more animosity, creating more division. So what we're not seeing are the long-term effects of us hiding our joy, feeling ashamed of our joy, feeling wrong for our joy, because we're actually long-term going to create a world that doesn't have joy if we continue in this way. We're going to feel like joy, that's a low conscious whatever experience. That's for kids. That's immature. Oh yeah, I remember when I was joyful. It was before I was woke. Is that the world you want to be a part of, where joy is something that was once experienced as a kid and now is this fabricated Santa Claus story and you got to keep reading the news to stay awake? What if the very things you are seeing in the news are sensationalized to keep you addicted to it? What if these very wars and conflicts are created by forces that are fueled by us being afraid and arguing on social media and dividing ourselves further? So, without me going fully into a political realm, I want to keep this about joy. I just want to open your eyes so you can see not everything that you read is the total truth, and there is an agenda behind all things, including media. Now let's look at what we can do to create the world we want to be a part of. A world that we celebrate. A world that we still experience awe and connection and harmony and serenity and unity. You know, sometimes we think, I'm going to save the world, as if the world is this thing that's out there. Who is the world? The world is made up of individuals like yourself and myself and whoever's in the room with you and all of the people that you know. That's the world. The world is not this thing outside of us. The world is us. So if we want to help the world, save the world, or at least create a more joyful world, because I think that's really all we can do here, then we need to be the living examples of that thing. We're not going to create more peace by being violent. We're not going to create more love by being hateful. We're not going to create more change by being stuck in our ways. So we sometimes don't get this. We think, oh, I'm perfect. It's the world that's fucked. But the world is all individuals like us. And even if you just look at your own country or your own state or your own city, we can make a huge impact, even just on the local, on the community level, by just amplifying our own vibrations and letting ourselves touch every single person we interact with from a higher state. When one person is living their dharma, their soul's purpose, they inspire everyone they know, their parents, their childhood friends, their colleagues, that it's possible for them too. When someone shifts into joy frequency, every person they interact with, from the barista to the person on social media to their client, is going to have a more enjoyable interaction. And that's going to trickle down to everyone that they then meet. And that's going to create a further domino effect to everyone they meet and they meet and they meet. And this is how we actually change the world. Because I want to make a newsflash for you guys. And I know it's not for you guys necessarily, but I think in this world, we think that if I'm just angry enough and push enough and argue enough, then the world will change without taking any responsibility to how we're showing up in this. And just a little newsflash, you know, most lawmakers and corporations and pharmaceuticals and all of these people who may be creating these issues, they're not reading your comments on Instagram and then changing their minds. Like, that's not happening. Instead, it's other people who are also trying their best, who are also overwhelmed, who are also confused, who also don't have the full picture of what's happening, all arguing with each other from the best of what they know, thinking that they're helping, wasting their energy instead of being there for their family and their friends and putting that energy towards their dharma, the actual way that they can make a difference in raising the vibration of the planet, thinking that they're helping, thinking that they're volunteering their time being of service when really they're just creating more animosity and division and stress in our society, which is going to trickle out into every single person that we then interact with. And every single person reading those comments who now thinks, oh shit, now I definitely shouldn't share my joy. So I really wanted to share this download with you guys because just like the levels of division and animosity are getting so next level. And truthfully, if we dive into what it's for, it's because we actually love each other. You know, the people who make one decision over here are worried about the people making another decision over there. And it's truthfully because we both are concerned. If someone made a decision to choose to get something and someone made a decision to choose not to get something, they are both very concerned about what the other person is doing because they've heard scary things about what's going to happen to that other person. So the reason why we're all arguing here is because we actually all love each other and want to do the same thing, but we can't see that in the moment. All we can see is our own righteousness and our ego wanting to be validated and be right in this conflict. But actually, if we zoom out and we look at what we're really striving for from our hearts, it's because we want a more beautiful world. It's because we want more justice. It's because we want more opportunity and possibilities. It's because we want more joy. So what if we bypassed the conflict and yelling at each other and canceling each other and making each other wrong, and we bypassed that part? And we went straight into the creating more joy. We went straight into the practicing love. We went straight into the listening rather than yelling. What if we created the results we wanted that way? Because, I mean, I think we have a lot of evidence the old way is not working. The wars have not been working. The conflicts have not been working. The social media debates definitely not working here. And if we really want to have a conversation, we need to have them face to face. We need to see the rapport. We need to see the look into that other person's eyes. Am I upsetting them? Am I resonating with them? What's happening there? Because when we think being a keyboard warrior is akin to being a true activist, we got it really twisted. Because it's not. It's not doing anything. If you want to support a cause, donate to it. That's what these causes need. They don't need you sharing on your story, passing along the responsibility to someone else. 10,000 shares and no donations is not going to help as much as $10,000 and zero shares. Causes actually need funds so the people on the ground who are doing this work, who are educating this work, who've dedicated their lives to this work, can actually create change with it. It's not just, oh my God, I found out about what's happening in this part of the world, reshare, negates my responsibility, I hope someone else donates, moving on. Putting the burden on someone else's shoulders and thinking that that's doing my part. It's not. In fact, it's just creating more turmoil. So this may sound intense for some people because I think a lot of us, we have been wanting to do the right thing, and that's beautiful. But let's really look at the results of our actions. Let's really look to see, are we helping in this way? Is us arguing about something that we have no control about going to create change? Or can we focus on the 1,000,000,001 things we can change? Our food system, our environment, the way we relate to each other, our society, our conditioning. What if we put the focus on that? So this is my invitation, and this is what I've been percolating for my next book. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it brought you some revelations. And if you resonated with this message, you want to share it to more people, I would be so grateful for you to share this episode on your Instagram, on your story, your Facebook, wherever you are. Let's bring in more compassion and understanding and actually diving into something without just, you know, retweet, move on. Let's really think about something, and not just with our heads, but also with our hearts. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode, for sharing it. I am so grateful. And be sure to be on my email list to get the first update whenever my next book comes out. And if you don't have my book, Discover Your Dharma, which really dives into your soul's purpose, be sure to get it. I also have my 21-day Dharma Discovery Journey, which takes you through the process of moving from confusion to clarity on your soul's purpose. And you can get that over at iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery and find that link in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you on the next one. Namaste.